When I'm president, the United States will once again stand shoulder to shoulder with the state of Israel. I will support Israel's right to win its war on terror. And we will win fast. You have to win, and you have to win fast. When I'm president, we will deport the foreign jihad sympathizers and Hamas supporters from our midst.
This is genocide. When 70% of the population that are killed are women and children, when the population is starved of food, of water, of medicine, repeated attacks on all the hospitals, the clinics, the aid distribution sites, the humanitarian aid agencies that try to help. More UN workers have been killed in Gaza than in UN's history. Over 900 families that have been exterminated, that have been taken off of the civil registry, killed. Over 17,000 children that have lost one or both parents. Bakeries, aid distribution sites, churches, mosques, schools, a rehabilitation center that was targeted in the last 24 hours, and there was an orphanage that was targeted earlier this week. These are the types of places that are being targeted.
And I will work with you to make sure that Israel is with us for thousands of years. We're not going to let go of it.
There is no mercy. Do not allow anyone to remain alive. Nothing. No mercy. Men, women, and children, the Torah says, do not have the right to exist.
I will ban refugee settlements from terror-infested areas like the Gaza Strip. And I will put every single college president on notice. The American taxpayer will not subsidize the creation of terrorist sympathizers on American soil.
תרגיל. כולם מוכנים, מקסימום. מחכים לטבח הגדול, האמיתי.
No president has defended Israel and Jewish Americans more than President Donald J. Trump.
International law, wonderful thing. It doesn't apply on us. It applies on any other place on earth, not on Israel. Because we are the chosen people, don't you understand it?
He declared Jerusalem the undivided eternal capital of Israel and moved our embassy there.
Do not have mercy on the children. Kill all their children also. Why? There's no difference between them and their children.
December 6, 2017, at my direction, the United States finally and officially recognized Jerusalem as the true capital of Israel. Today, we follow through on this recognition and open our embassy in the historic and sacred land of Jerusalem.
Trump imposed crippling economic sanctions on Iran, aimed to curb their nuclear ambitions. And President Donald Trump brokered the Abraham Accords, reshaping relations between Israel and much of the Arab world. Donald Trump will crack down and take decisive action against anti-Semitism on the streets and college campuses, restoring safety and security for Jewish Americans.
Week, a team of four Oxfam engineers were traveling through Gaza in an attempt to repair water infrastructure for the starved Palestinians there. The engineers got prior approval from Israel and coordinated every step of the way while they traveled in their clearly marked vehicle. It should not surprise you to learn that Israel bombed and murdered these four engineers. Which brings me to the question you choose to ignore every week. Why did these lives deserve to be ended? Why is trying to give water to innocent, starved victims a crime punishable by death from Israel? Why does Israel get to drone strike a child in the street and then use him as bait and bomb the people that came to help him? Why does Israel get to block all aid to northern Gaza? Then Israel goes on to murder more than 80 people in a single massacre in the Jabalia refugee camp. Israel gets to commit all these war crimes and genocide because it knows cowards like you will never speak up. Some of you pretended to care what the UN had to say in 1948. The UN of today has demanded a ceasefire. Do you care? The UN of today has had more aid workers killed in the last year than in its history. Do you care? Politicians like you have shown that you don't give a shit about any human life. We've watched Palestinian, Lebanese, Syrian, Yemeni, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, engineers, doctors, aid workers, peacekeepers, children, and Americans all murdered by the terrorist state of Israel without a word of objection from you. Justice delayed is justice denied. And each week you go home silent, you are not only denying that justice, you are enabling murder. You are sentencing innocent people to death.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
Donald Trump stands as the most pro-Israel president in U.S. history. Someone the Jewish community can count on.
When I'm back in the White House, the United States will stand with Israel all the way, 100%, without hesitation, without qualification.
All place in the world that we will occupy in a war, Milchemet Mitzvah. We go to a war, we occupy. Let's say we occupy Lebanon. And over there, there's idol worshipping places. We have the same obligation to destroy it. Why? Because now we live there. We occupy the place. We occupy the place. The Torah say, "Uviyarta ara mikirbecha." Don't leave anything, any idols among you. So every place that you live in, from now on, you have the same obligation to purify the place from all the idols.
אנחנו מוכנים להיכנס לבידוד בינלאומי ומוכנים להריב עם ארצות הברית ומוכנים להריב עם כל העולם ואחותו כמה שנצטרך עד שכולכם כולל כל התומכים שלכם תעלו לפגוש את אללה אנחנו נהרוג שיהיה ברור שיהיה ברור זה המצב בישראל זה הסנטימנט אז תחגגו ברשתות החברתיות תעשו פרי פלסטיין תעשו את כל המסכנות שלכם ואנחנו נבוא להשמיד אתכם להשמיד.
And without any apology, we're not going to be apologizing.
Yeah, folks, it looks like an interesting future. As we predicted, Trump won the selection. Well, Trump was selected to win the selection. And as you can see in that opening video, he is absolutely going to completely capitulate to what Israel wants him to do. The Israelis are saying he is the greatest president Israel ever had. And Israel is currently waging a massive genocide in the Middle East. And trying to drive the world into World War III. The talk is that Trump's going to bring peace to the Middle East. Well, of course, he's going to bring peace to it by eliminating all of Israel's enemies so that they're all dead. That's quite peaceful. He'll introduce border security into the United States by bringing in biometrics. He's talking about ending the Fed, which will of course see the introduction of the central bank digital currency. It's just a wolf in sheep's clothing, folks, the whole concept of government. And Trump is no different. It's incredible how many people are on the Trump train and still on the Trump train. Remarkable. And it's so contrived. I mean, when you look at what they did with Biden, just a bumbling old fool, it was all designed this way. Trump was never supposed to do his second term. It was always supposed to go down exactly the way it went down. As you can see, still a fair bit of flooding around the place, still a lot of water around, but getting better, slowly getting better. We'll see what the Secret Garden looks like today. Speaking of a bit of water around, we'll get back to Trump in a little while, but speaking of a lot of water around, the floods in Valencia, absolutely mind-boggling floods. Some of the reports that I've had come in, it was one area I think they were getting 90 litres of water an hour falling down.
Mira que crecía, papa, mira que crecía. ¿Tú crees que esto es normal? Mira, mira la calle del médico. Mira la calle como va para abajo, de agua.
María, la furgoneta baja por ahí. Mira la que nos hemos librado.
Mamma mía, la crecía como viene.
¡90 liters of rain in an hour! How can you even comprehend that? Apparently they had a year's worth of rainfall in 8 hours in Valencia. And the timing was impeccable. The day before the floods, Spain announced that it was cancelling billions of dollars worth of arms sales to Israel, or billions of dollars worth of arms deals with Israel. It wasn't just buying arms from them, it was actually selling them arms as well. Cancelled all of that, and then the EU has to cancel free trade with Israel, and then within 24 hours, Spain experiences the worst flood of its almost its entire history, like phenomenal floods. And again, we're not hearing the full story from people. They're saying 100 people dead, a couple of thousand missing. Stories that I've got coming out from people that live in Spain say there are thousands of people missing. And it's 10 times worse than what anyone is telling us. Interestingly, the King of Spain and his wife went to visit the flood zone and they were pelted with mud. Everyone is disgusted at them. Apparently they demolished over 200 dams, like 230 something or 240 something dams in the last 10 years to comply with climate change regulations, put the rivers back to their natural courses. But of course, since the dams were built, they'd built all these cities along the riverbanks. And so when they took the dams out, when this much rain came from the sky, suddenly all these places flooded and everything was washed away, which of course would have been prevented if the dams had still been there, which of course is why the king got pelted with mud when he arrived. So yeah, interesting how that works. All part of the same agenda. Another really interesting thing about it is there was a ship described as a Turkish electrical ship, Sea Power. I mean, I don't know how this saying this works, but there's a ship which has an electrical station on it, which supplies electricity to places that don't have electricity. I don't know how that would work. Or they do run a big extension cable onto the land. But there's this really weird looking ship that was spotted off the coast of Spain while the storm was happening. crazy stuff, folks. And when you look at that ship and look at it with the support ships that it carries with it or takes with it, this doesn't look like any type of traveling harp array, does it? No, of course not. You're just a conspiracy theorist. And you look at some of the radar images of what was going on that day, and you can see the harp waves through the clouds.
Sobre el mar entró el miércoles este barquito lleno de antenas.
Yeah, so this all seems pretty contrived, folks. And again, the day after they cancel arms deals with Israel, this happens. Israel is going pretty nuts at the moment as well. Yoav Gallant, the Minister for Defense, was sacked by Benjamin Netanyahu the other day, and there are protests right across Israel. There's even talk of a military coup to get rid of Bibi Netanyahu. Because he won't enter into any hostage deals to free the hostages, because Bibi doesn't want the hostages free. Bibi just wants to continue the war. That's what it's all about. Now, he wants total victory, which means kill all the Palestinians. He won't settle for anything less. See, Bibi was told, like, 10 years ago, probably even more, by this rabbi, that he was going to be the last prime minister of Israel, and he was going to be the one that basically hands the keys over to the Jewish Messiah, who is due around 2027, apparently. And Bibi thinks he's this chosen person by God, and he's chosen to lead Israel into greater Israel, and he's chosen to lead Israel to the safety of their new Messiah. And he really believes it, so he's not willing to secede power for any reason whatsoever. He fully wants to be in place in 2027 so he can hand over to the Messiah, you know. That's his plan. He wants to go down as the greatest prime minister that ever lived, and he's kind of fixated on it. So he doesn't want to relinquish power at all, and he's doing everything he can to stay in power. Interestingly, there were protests against Benjamin Netanyahu that started in January 2023 and continued right through the year, right up until October 7th. And then they stopped. Amazing how that works. But all the people wanted him gone, and they still want him gone because Bibi's trying to mess with them too much. As I said before, the claim that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East is volitious. There is nothing even resembling a democracy in Israel. Israel is simply a set of arbitrary rules decided by politicians. There is no constitution. All democracies require a constitution, and Israel doesn't have one. That's kind of telling, because if they did have a constitution, they wouldn't be able to treat the Palestinians the way they do. So that's why they can't have one. And there's apparently three houses of government in Israel, and the lowest house is what actually keeps the government in check and makes sure that they, you know, give people the rights they deserve. Bibi wanted to eliminate that lower house so that there'd be no checks and balances against government corruption, which is why all the protests have been there. But claiming Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, it's not true. It isn't a democracy. And so he was going to do that. He was going to eliminate the lower house. So there were protests trying to kick him out, which had been ongoing for like 2 years. And then came October the 7th, and all these protests stopped, and everyone's screaming about the hostages. And Bibi has done everything he can to make sure the hostages are not released, and the war continues. And even if there aren't any hostages there, I mean, they've been bombed by Israel long ago. I mean, let's get real about it, folks. You can't drop that many bombs on a place and expect to be keeping your hostages safe. And they're doing the same thing in Lebanon. They plan doing it in Syria. They plan doing it everywhere else. In Lebanon, they're just blowing up entire villages in southern Lebanon.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and these are centuries old villages. People are getting calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, just like 2 or 3 days ago. There was a village in southern Lebanon that started, the phone started ringing at 2 a.m. and it was the IDF telling the residents they have 45 minutes to evacuate because they're going to start bombing the place. You know, what do you do when you wake up to a phone call at 2 a.m. and you're in your pajamas and they tell you you've got to pack up and leave now, you've got 45 minutes? What do you take with you? I mean, you've got time to pull some clothes on and what, grab the kids and, you know, a couple of things. I mean, this is people that have lived there for generations, and Israel is basically taking over all of southern Lebanon and calling it Israel now. They're putting up Israeli flags everywhere. And of course, once they do this, they say, oh, we're just establishing a safety buffer zone to keep Hezbollah at bay. And all these villages are described as Hezbollah strongholds, when there's no proof or evidence of any of this. Israel's just going in and blowing up villages and blowing up people and kicking people out of their homes the way it does. And terrible things they do, like I showed in that intro. They're burning cats, like setting live cats on fire in West Bank and just watching them burn. Disgraceful stuff, really disgraceful stuff. Now, currently they do photo shoots and stuff. Like I saw one the other day of how Israel is moving out injured Palestinians and taking them to hospital. It was like four people walking across the room. They're not taking out injured Palestinians at all. They're stealing all the men. They're brutalizing everybody they can. They just put out these little propaganda videos now and then to try to convince you that they're actually doing the right thing, that they actually care. but they don't. These are the cruelest people on earth. You look at some of the stuff they're doing and some of the stuff Trump is supporting through this. You know, look what just happened in Spain. And you can't tell me that's a coincidence, folks, that they declined Israel's weapons deals and then the next day they have floods of this extent. How do you even get that much water in the sky? How do the clouds hold that much water? You know, obviously this was contrived. And you look at those radar patterns. I mean, it's obviously contrived, folks. But Israel's in a complete state of disarray at the moment with the sacking of Yoav Gallant. They really, the people aren't happy about this. I mean, and he's described as moderate, and he's not. This is the guy who said, you know, we've got to cut off everything, cut off electricity, cut off food, cut off telecommunications, cut off everything, and that they're animals. I mean, he's not moderate at all, but he's considered moderate. But Bibi doesn't want any of that. Bibi wants to have every excuse to keep it going. And all this stuff that you hear, oh, Hamas rejected another ceasefire deal. And what are these ceasefire deals? Okay, we'll stop bombing you for 2 days if you surrender everything and we'll give you safe passage to leave. You can't keep your country, you've got to go. We'll stop bombing you for 2 days if you release our hostages, and then we'll start bombing you again and we'll get you out into all these safe zones, safe bubbles, humanitarian bubbles. And as I reported on the last couple of reports, they're setting up concentration camps and they intend to keep the people of Gaza in these containment zones. And this is all the stuff Trump's supporting. Like when he's saying he's not going to allow any terrorists from Gaza into the country. They're not terrorists. The Israelis are the terrorists. It's remarkable just how backwards everything is, folks. It's just remarkable. And now Trump's in office, we're just going to see a major escalation of this. And like I was saying, you know, they're bombing all of southern Lebanon, setting up what they call buffer zones. They're basically invading and taking over Lebanon, you know, a suburb at a time. They've taken over all of southern Lebanon. Of course, there's going to be resistance towards this. And you're going to see Israel saying, well, we need to widen the buffer zone. And we'll take over the next lot of villages and then the next lot of villages. And then, of course, all the terrorists will retreat to Beirut. So they'll bomb the shit out of Beirut and they'll take over that. They've been bombing Baalbek. I mean, they absolutely have no limits to what they're prepared to do, these people. And Israel is the main terrorist force on this earth. I think that's becoming apparent to everybody. I really do. I mean, if people can't see it, I don't know what's wrong with them, but everything that's happening in the world now, everything that's happening across Europe, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in the Middle East, even the US elections, are all contrived by this little podunk state in the Middle East. Things are looking pretty good here, as you can see, folks, in the Secret Garden. But yeah, you know, bombing centuries-old towns, flooding Spain and Valencia, genociding Gaza, it's just incredible. And they're still saying there's no genocide as well, when it's obvious that there is. But what an interesting world we've got, folks. It's just going to get nuts from here on. Have you noticed as well, Trump has often said that this will be the last election you need to vote in. I think there was a period where Elon Musk said this is the last time you'll need to get out and vote as well. Apparently Elon Musk has purchased Fox News. I'm seeing reports of this. I haven't been able to confirm it, but it could well be true that Musk has now bought Fox News. So that's going to be interesting. I mean, he's really trying to present himself as the champion of free speech, but nothing could be further from the truth. And I get notifications all the time from X saying your post's visibility has been limited. Because, of course, I'm speaking out against genocide, and they don't like people doing that, folks. They don't like people doing that. They don't like people pointing out the pure evil of the Jewish state. And they are, they're so evil. They get in this state of euphoria as well, have you noticed? Like, have a look at this little dance party, this celebration that they're having. I mean, does that look like a country that is currently at war? Do these look like battle-weary soldiers from the front? Not battle-weary, because there are no battles, not in Gaza, not in Palestine. They're fighting a war against civilians and against women and children. Farmers, people who don't have any weapons. They can go in there and portray themselves as heroes when they're not, they're cowards. They were running out of Lebanon. They actually went into Lebanon and they sent ground troops in there and they ended up running away, literally crying, because of the fact that they're actually facing actual men when they do the battle. You know, these are the most cowardly, murderous people on earth. Child killers, cowards, that don't know how to fight a real war against real soldiers. They only know how to go in and kill civilians. But you look at that dance party they were having. Like I said, does that look like people that are fighting a war? Or does that look like something completely contrived? And the interesting thing about it is that when you look at that celebration they're having at that dance party, this is like euphoria. They're in a state of euphoria, jumping around with their flags and their military uniforms. Now, who worships a flag that much? The Star of Remphan, Star of Moloch. You know, it's not a good symbol, folks, and it doesn't represent what you think it does. It's not the Star of David, it's the Star of Remphan, the Star of Moloch. Moloch is all about child sacrifice, which seems to be a lot of what's going on. But that state of euphoria that they're in, that's the sort of state of euphoria a normal person would be in if they, you know, graduated high school, or just getting married, or just had a baby, or something incredible had happened in their lives. The Israelis go into that state of euphoria while they're murdering women and children. They love bloodshed, they love suffering, they thrive on the pain of other people. It's the sickest culture, folks. It's absolutely the sickest culture. And this is what Trump and all these Western politicians are supporting. Notably, every AIPAC-supported politician got voted in. How unusual. They're saying 79% of Jews didn't vote for Trump. I'd say that's bullshit, folks. I'd say that's just propaganda being spread by the Jerusalem Post. I think all the Jews in the United States voted for Trump because Trump is going to be good for Israel. Trump will make Israel great again. That's the plan. And they'll just bleed America dry while they're doing it. Trump will do all sorts of things and say he's going to drain the swamp, but he'll just do what he did last time. He didn't drain the swamp. He just renamed the swamp to government-protected wetlands. You know, and he surrounds himself with the swamp. I mean, all of his crew that he's got on his cabinet and all that sort of stuff, these are all swamp dwellers. So, I mean, you can see where this is going, folks. You can't believe a word these people say. And we are moving into unprecedented times. You know, if they can get World War III going, get this war for greater Israel going, you might find that there isn't another election for a little while. You know, if they can give people enough handouts for them to like the fact that they're getting bribed to keep the current government in, perhaps they won't want to let Trump go. So you can see this could go to a really ugly place, folks. It may be the end of America as we know it. It wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't surprise me if that's what they do. And they're continuing to roll out all the tech and all this stuff as well. They're saying digital ID is going to come online in Australia on January 1st. And you're going to need digital ID in order to access government services. I mean, interesting for people like me, I don't really use government services, but then things like registering your car or renewing your driver's license or anything like that, these are actually government services. What's going to happen when you're going to renew your driver's license and they tell you that you need a digital ID in order to do it? even if you don't use any of their other services. I mean, this is kind of the way they're pushing it, folks. They really want this digital ID to come into place. And they're sort of making it so you've got to have a smartphone to do any of this sort of stuff. Now, people who don't use smartphones or don't carry smartphones around with them, like me, they're going to find it very difficult to just do normal everyday things. Of course, they're trying to make smartphones more attractive so everyone's going to want one. Have you seen the new smartphones that they're rolling out? Interesting looking stuff. Yeah, and they want this everywhere, this smart tech everywhere. Even with Valencia, the floods in Spain, they're now saying that a lot of this damage has happened because we didn't have emergency services coordinated enough. So we need to have separate emergency services and things coordinated for 15-minute zones within Valencia. 15-minute zones. 15-minute cities, smart city, turn Valencia into a smart city. Also, claiming a lot of farmland, like a lot of crops were wiped out in these floods as well, and that's what they want. They want to control food production, so they wiped out most of the crops in Spain by flooding Valencia, the same as what they've just done in North Carolina. They wiped out most of the crops in North Carolina through the floods they just had there. All one big puppet show, folks, and all very predictable. Still a bit of damage here in the garden, as you can see. A bit of flooding there. That looks like grass down there. It's actually algae on top of the pond. Looks like you could just kind of walk through there, doesn't it? But I wouldn't try it. But yeah, crazy world. Another thing that I saw was that Israeli soldiers who are fighting the war, which isn't a war, in Gaza, are going to receive US military pensions. I mean, the United States is essentially a vassal state of Israel now. It's remarkable that the people in the United States can't see it. It's remarkable that so many people are supporting Trump when he is so openly supporting the genocide of Palestine, the genocide of Gaza, the genocide of Lebanon. Which is genocide, folks. I mean, they may not be killing as many people in Lebanon yet as what they've done in Gaza, but the fact that they're going in and just blowing up entire villages and repopulating southern Lebanon and basically invading it and taking it over and occupying it, and they're destroying all the local culture to do it, this is genocide. This is how it works. It's just a slow genocide, so hopefully the people don't notice too much. That's the way Israel works. And if you notice, the death figures haven't gone up in Gaza for 6 months. We're still hearing, you know, 40,000 people injured and stuff like that, 40,000 people dead. This figure hasn't changed for so long, but really it should. Hello, brother, how are you?
Doing good.
Good, good. This guy's been actually, you want to have a look at the camera for a minute? This guy, I've been treating this guy for Bell's palsy with the Tesla machine. And look at him, he's smiling, he's got lines on his head, he's all working out. He's had like, what, seven treatments?
Seven
treatments, so seven 15-minute treatments, and his Bell's palsy is almost gone. I should have taken a before and after shot, but we're kind of halfway through the treatment before I even thought that I should take a shot. But it's been working wonders on him. And you know, admittedly, Bell's palsy clears up after a couple of months, but he's only had it for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks later, it's almost completely gone, which is remarkable to see. And been having some pretty good results with this machine, folks, so it's kind of interesting. But yeah, you know, like Israeli soldiers getting US military pensions. What the fuck is that all about? Yeah, they can't feed the people in the United States, homeless people all over the place. But they can send billions of dollars to Israel. They can send billions of dollars to Ukraine. They can give Israeli soldiers US veterans pensions. But they can't look after the people from the floods in South Carolina and North Carolina. Remarkable how that works, isn't it? Matter of priorities, folks. Another view of this pond. There's still a fair bit of damage around the place here, folks, but it's coming along. It'll be fixed and up and running by the time Anacapulco starts. And Anacapulco will be happening in February, as it does every year. Tickets are selling pretty fast, folks, so if you're going to come, I suggest you get a ticket pretty quickly. As always, you can use my last name, Egan, I-G-A-N, and get yourself a 10% discount on that ticket. But I'm really looking forward to next year's Anacapulco. It's been such an interesting year. I think there's going to be some really good information come from the speakers that are going to be coming to it. And I still don't know who they all are, but I think it's going to be a good year, folks. I really do. And the world's just getting crazier and crazier by the minute. There's so much to talk about. Yeah, I think it's a good idea to come and check it out. I'm just looking forward to it anyway. So if you've been to Anacapulco before, do try to come along again this year. Do use my coupon, get yourself a 10% discount, and I look forward to seeing you there. Interesting murals all through the place here, folks. Interesting stuff. That in Lakesh is that sign there, that circular thing, that's called the Galactic Butterfly, which actually means in Lakesh, which is kind of interesting. That would be up on the wall where I do my talks. Amazing. But yeah, I don't think I've got a lot more to talk about, folks. Might be able to keep it short today, which would be good. I did notice there was a commercial put out by, apparently it's put out by the German government, called Remigration, and they're talking about how they're going to relocate most of the migrants out of Germany and send them back to their own countries. This commercial, I mean, it's obviously AI created. I don't even know if there's any real people in there. And you've got all these obviously Aryan-looking Germans getting rid of all of these migrants, who are all, of course, in dark hoodies and stuff, you know. And so contrived, all this stuff. But check out this commercial for Remigration from Germany. Yeah, pretty blatant, that one. And obviously AI, which is interesting how far AI has come. I showed you on a couple of recent reports the information on Matt's Substack, where he demonstrated that a lot of the Hamas videos that apparently came from October 7th, 2023, are actually AI created. We don't know how much of what they tell us is real at all. I mean, one thing that is real is the bombing of Gaza and the genocide of the people there. But all these claims that Hamas kidnapped all these people and did all these terrible things, there's just no proof that any of it's real. There's definitely no proof of rapes, there's no proof of beheadings, except on the Israeli side. Israel has been beheading babies, beheading children, there's been lots of rapes, even rapes of male prisoners, as we saw. That male prisoner was raped to death with metal batons while in an Israeli jail. They tried to get the people who did it in trouble, and there was almost a civil war over it. How dare you prosecute our IDF heroes? And the guy who committed the rape, the main instigator, is now doing a talk show tour of Israel, because he's a celebrity now. Celebrity rapist. Celebrity gang rapist. Remarkable, folks, remarkable. And yet they always play victim in everything they do. Incredible. But yeah, there's almost civil war going on in Israel now, which is interesting. But you got to wonder how much of this is contrived as well. I've said before, if you really want to free the world, you've got to pressure your government to get all dual citizens out of government. And not just dual Israeli citizens, but any dual citizens. You don't want dual citizens that are loyal to another state as part of your government, as part of the US government, as part of the Australian government, British government, any of them. You need to have Americans in charge of the American government, Australians running the Australian government, and, you know, all around the world. You need to get dual citizens out of your government. And while you've got all these Israelis in government who are putting Israel first in all the decisions they make for the United States, it's just going to get worse and worse. There's a reason these people were kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times over the last 2,000 years.
We are a people that has been kicked out of every place we've ever lived for 2,000 years. Every single place.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, folks. And that reason has become pretty obvious over the last 12 months. I mean, they've really let their guard down in so many ways. So we're seeing a rise of anti-Semitism, which of course is all designed and contrived to happen exactly the way it's happening. Even with the migrant crisis, you know, I mean, they brought all these migrants in and then they started creating this incredible amount of strife in the Middle East. So all of the Middle Eastern people in Western countries are of course going to be protesting about it. They can paint them all as Hamas supporters when really they're not pro-Hamas, they're simply anti-genocide. And portray Israel as the victim and, you know, put one against the other, complete polarization, which is what they've tried to do and what they've succeeded in very much. And they're the ones who brought all the migrants in, simply for this purpose.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role.
It's all been contrived, folks. The whole thing has been contrived. Even with what's going on in Israel now, the threats of civil war and stuff, this will probably simply lead to martial law in Israel and just simply give more power to the state. Everything they do gives more power to the state. Any type of problem they can create, they wait for the reaction, and then the solution is always more government overreach. Funny how that works. But that's always the plan, folks. And we are heading for a really, really unstable and kind of unpredictable future with what they're doing. Well, predictable in as much as it's going to lead to more government overreach. But who knows which way they're going to take it. You know, if they can kickstart World War III, we may see Trump being the last elected president in the United States. And Trump can, of course, go in there and then pretend to fix all the problems that the globalists have created, which is why the globalists created the problem, so they can have their savior, their white knight, come charging in on his beautiful big white horse and save the world. And it's all completely contrived, folks. It's all completely contrived. You know, I look at all these times and I think, you know, this is a time of great opportunity for human freedom, but only if people can see what's going on and only if they're prepared to stand up and make a difference for themselves. That's the problem that I've found through the whole so-called truth movement, the whole alternate media, the entire resistance, whatever you want to call it, is that people are waiting for the instruction manual. They're waiting for the newsletter to let them know the world has changed and that they don't actually have to do anything or participate in making that change themselves. When they do, when the whole system, everything they do, the whole belief in authority, that is the matrix. It's your belief in authority, your belief that these parasites have control over you, the belief that voting actually makes a difference. I mean, you could tell Trump was going to get in. You had Kamala going out there saying the most stupid things in her speeches, and Biden stumbling around like he didn't even know what he was doing, whether it was even Biden. It appears to be some guy in a mask. And Kamala just the other day said, oh, she's going to write an executive order to confiscate guns from people. Yeah, right, that's going to go down really well. The people of the United States are going to absolutely jump at that one. I mean, if people can't see how contrived this is, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see where they're actually prepared to take it. It really is. And bear in mind that Israel wants to take over the world. The Jews want to wipe out anybody who isn't a Jew. That's what this whole war's about.
The Israelis are mad, you mate. Bam, bomb, brains, blood all over the place. It's all over for you guys. Got a problem, bro? Got a problem?
What's your problem? What's your problem? Huh?
You want to know what the last guy who said that did happen to him?
Tell us.
Yeah, he's in Iran now. He's 6 foot under. Actually not. Got bam, incinerated instantly. Mate, enjoy the rest of your little short life. Have a good one.
Even you start looking at religion and all this sort of stuff, and the Christians probably won't like this, but when you look at the origins of Christianity and the origins of Islam, they both basically stem out of Judaism. What would you do if you were part of a supremacist cult, supremacist ideology, whose main philosophy is, by way of deception, we shall do war? And you wanted everybody who wasn't part of your cult to basically kill each other. Well, you create two religions that are very close and very similar, but have subtle differences. And then you could get in there and start planting the seeds of animosity in the minds of the people. You could stage terror attacks, blame it all on one side of the coin, and then act like you're desperately fighting against terror when you're really the one who's creating it. When you look at all the major terror attacks through history, there's Jewish fingerprints all over them. There's Jewish fingerprints all over 9/11, Jewish fingerprints all over ISIS, all over Al-Qaeda. I mean, ISIS, I've showed you so many times. I mean, it doesn't do anything to attack Israel. All it does is destroy Muslim infrastructure. And it is supposed to be a group of Muslim extremists. But they never attack Israel. All they do is destroy Muslim countries because ISIS is Israel. Even the head, al-Baghdadi, was confirmed to be a Mossad agent by the name of Simon Elliott. Another guy who ended up being a Mossad agent by the name of Ephraim. You know, like, it's all run by these people. And it's the perfect ploy. That's what they want to do. Then they bring all these migrants into your country. They put East against West and have all the people kill each other. And you can portray yourself as the battling underdog in the middle of the whole thing. Look at us. We're the only democracy in the Middle East, and we're in battle by all sides. We're being attacked from seven fronts. No, Israel attacked seven of its neighbors. It's attacking on seven fronts and claiming it's the victim while it's doing it. And through media propaganda, they're able to convince the Western world to go along with it because they've put all these migrants in all their countries who are all riding on the street and destroying social infrastructure and all the stuff that they planned for them to do. You know, and you still see, like, Palestinian protesters, allegedly Palestinian, pro-Palestinian protesters, going out and destroying basic infrastructure, defacing signs, creating all sorts of horrible stuff. You can guarantee these are all Jews, that are agent provocateurs that go in there and create all of this animosity. And Israel can still portray itself as a battling underdog, desperately striving for peace and freedom while creating war on every single front that it can and in every way possible, undermining the lives of everybody around them, so that the East and the West destroy each other. That's the plan, folks. Then they come in and mop up the rest. There's talk now of kicking them out of the United Nations. They're quite happy about that. They're saying the United Nations is an anti-Semitic cesspool and they need to disband the United Nations and form a new United Nations with Israel at the helm. Otherwise, the world's just going to remain anti-Semitic, and anybody who isn't standing with Israel is abhorrent and is supporting anti-Semitism and is supporting terrorism. See, everything's backwards. Everything they say is backwards. And I see this all coming to a head over the next 2 years. 2025 is going to be interesting. We're going to see so many people dying from the jab, myocarditis, sudden death syndrome, all this stuff's happening all over the world still. It's all going to come to a head next year. And then by 2027, they basically want the new framework in place so that then they can move us into what they want the world to be and controlled by 2030. That's the plan. They want it all done by 2030. 2025 is when they plan to really consolidate their power and have all the new framework and usher in the new world in 2027 and then have it fully up and running by 2030. So this is all going to happen through Trump's tenure, his next 4 years in the White House, like from 2025 through to what, 2029. And like I said, will there even be another election past that point? And you've got so many European countries jumping on board with Trump now, and so many people are playing this, and they're doing everything they can, like with the floods and the social division and everything that's happening, to usher in this world and to keep people distracted with what's going on the ground in their own countries. Food shortages, making things as hard as possible for everybody. What they've done in England as well, they've brought in a new inheritance tax in England for farmers, for small farms, so that if your farm contains more than £1 million worth of assets, then you've basically got to pay 20% of everything to the government. And even a small farm, your house, your tractors, I mean, you're going to have $1 million worth of assets without even having any money in the bank. Even if you're struggling, you're going to have $1 million worth of assets to even be able to run the farm. And these are farms that have been passed down from generation to generation for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, a guy keeps his farm going, and at the end of it, when he dies, his children take over and the business just runs the way it runs, the way it's always run. Well, now that's going to stop. Now you're going to have to pay a 20% tax to the government, which is going to effectively shut down so many of these small farms. That's the plan, and that's how they intend to play it.
So the global war on farming that I've spoken many times about is still very much alive and kicking. This time I wanted to come to you with an update specifically about what's going on with the UK farmers. Keir Starmer, arguably the worst politician right now, the worst government leader in Europe, has decided to specifically target family farms by introducing a new inheritance tax law, which essentially means that any farmer in the United Kingdom who, when he dies, wants to pass on his farm to his children, like the farm has been passed on to him or to her for probably centuries on end, now won't be able to do that without having his kids pay 20% of inheritance tax on any assets that this farm has or any worth that this farm has that supersedes £1 million. And now, of course, Keir Starmer's government is banking on the fact that you're going to think, oh, but that it means that it will only target very rich farmers. Wrong. Anyone who knows any farmers or knows anything about farming in the 21st century knows that farmers aren't, especially family farmers, are not rich people. They are people who work their asses off 24/7 to provide you with food. And that they are not making a whole lot of profit on their work, if they're making any profit at all. But that the only wealth, quote unquote, that they have is actually their land. I'm talking to you right now from my family farm, and their machinery. And with that, you'll easily get to that threshold of £1 million. So most family farms, even the smallest ones, will be affected by this inheritance tax. And now I think inheritance tax in and of itself is a despicable communist ideal. Like, why does the state have any claim to make to your property when you die? Why wouldn't that be, you know, just for your kids? Why wouldn't that just go to your kids? Beats me. But anyway, that's the communist ideal, of course, also of Keir Starmer. And so this new inheritance tax will specifically kill off family farming in the United Kingdom. And I've already seen heartbreaking reports now of a farmer this morning who, upon hearing this news about the inheritance tax, has hung himself. And that's something that sadly I've heard about many times also in the Netherlands, because like I said, this is a global war on farming. This is happening all around the Western world. And the goal is, of course, to kill off family farming, to kill off small businesses like this, so that the government can control the food and control the people. Because what will be left? Family farms like this won't exist anymore on this trajectory, with this trajectory. The only thing that will be left are state-controlled, centralized farms where they can, of course, manipulate your food, control the market, and control you, control what you eat, when you eat. And that's why I really hope that the UK farmers will rise up, just like the Dutch farmers have done, the German farmers have done, and the French, because God knows this fight is far from over.
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious what they intend to do, folks. It's pretty obvious with anyone with eyes to see. Oh dear, I'm going to run out of battery, and I haven't brought my battery pack with me. I got it out and put it on my bench, and I haven't brought it with me. So I'm about to run out of battery in a minute, folks, which is unfortunate, because there's a few things more I wanted to say. If I think of it, maybe I'll bring you some more when I get home. But I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'll just finish this anyway. So yeah, thank you. All the normal thank yous, folks. Thank you for anybody who's speaking out. Thank you to anybody who sends me a kind email. Again, sorry about all the trolls on my channel, but that's just the way it goes, folks. It's kind of confidence inspiring, because you know you're on the right track when you get trolled this much. Same as, you know, Israel is losing the information war when it has to promote so much propaganda on Twitter. Yeah, so don't lose faith in all this, but just be prepared for some pretty interesting times, folks. We're heading for some really, really interesting times. And who knows what the world's going to be 12 months from now. But it's all sort of going down the path we expected it to go down. So don't be too surprised at what you see. But just believe in yourself. Believe in your own family. Get your support group around you, or at least if you haven't got a support group, then get yourself in a position where you can weather the storm. You know, prepare for the worst. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. It's always a good idea to hedge your bets, folks. So, yeah, there's some other stuff I'm going to say, or I wanted to say. I can't think of it offhand at the moment. And like I said, I am about to run out of battery. So I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Again, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you so much for the contributions that were made last month when I was very desperate. I really kind of needed that. And I'm very thankful for the people that contributed as I said many times, you're the only people that keep this show on the road and keep this show on the air, folks. And we're heading into some really, really interesting times. So even sometimes I think, well, I don't even know if I want to continue doing these videos. How can I back away from what's going on is the question. I mean, I can't just leave things where they are, because we're about to head into the major moment. We're about to see everything culminate into what it's culminating into. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. So I can't kind of stop doing videos now. I have to keep reporting, because times are getting just so incredibly interesting. But hold on to your hat, folks. Get yourself set up and just be prepared to weather the storm, because the storm is definitely coming. Now, everything that they've done in Israel, I mean, like I've said, it's a series of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And it's coming to all of our countries. I've often said the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. I mean, remember what they did in Germany in Rhein-Wiesen-Lager. Realize that they were the real death camps in World War II. There was no Jewish Holocaust. The real Holocausts in history were actually all carried out by these people. These are the people who are attempting to consolidate their power now, and they really believe that they're going to come out on top and they're going to control the world. And they're going to do it simply by their propaganda war. But I really think they are failing in the propaganda war. Of course, you know, people are being led down the garden path by false messiahs such as Elon Musk, champion of free speech, who really doesn't let you say what you want to say. And if he controls Fox News, suddenly everyone's going to believe what's on Fox News. Like, if he actually does buy it, if he actually has bought it, everyone's going to suddenly believe, well, Elon's in control of it, so it must be true. It's just such a puppet show, folks. It's really such a puppet show. It's kind of interesting to see how it all plays out and just how easily people are led. But yeah, interesting times coming, folks. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now, because I'm about to lose this video if I don't stop it now. Oops, gone red. So yeah, I better stop, folks. Thank you for joining on this report. I'll try to do a more comprehensive one next time. And so you ran out of battery again, folks. But what I was trying to say with all that other stuff before is that, you know, we all know the phrase problem, reaction, solution, and order out of chaos, which is basically their motto. It's even on the dollar bill, ordo ab chao, which means order out of chaos. They've created so much destability and so much chaos in the world, because then they're going to be able to usher in the new world order that they want. So just watch what happens over the next 12 months. You're going to have Trump go in there and pretend that he's the battling underdog, you know, trying to battle the deep state and bring in this new system that he wants. And he's going to make excuses for it. Like I said, he's going to close the borders by using biometric ID. He'll secure the borders through biometric ID. He'll end the Fed by introducing the CDC. You know, all of this sort of stuff is going to lead into their hands and go exactly where they want it to go. Just watch how it happens and just be prepared for it, because that's what's going to happen. That's the way they're going to do it. So they've got to bring in this new system in a way that's going to be believable for the people. You know, they can't just usher in this control grid and have people go along with it unless they see it as something necessary. And the only way to do that is to destabilize the world the way they've done. That's why they put all these migrants in place and all the shit they've done. All about destabilization, order out of chaos. Yeah, and we've seen so much chaos in the world in the last 3 or 4 years since what happened with COVID. But we're going to see that go to the next level over the next 12 months. And it's all going to be leading towards this predictable outcome, which again is going to be more and more control, more and more government overreach. That's always the way they play it. So just watch out for it, folks, because things are about to get super interesting. But you've got to be able to look at it that way. It's interesting. It only affects you if you let it affect you. If you believe in authority and you believe the system's real, you believe government's actually there to do anything apart from control you, then it might affect you. It's not particularly going to affect me too much because I just don't participate in that system. I just don't do any of it. I'm not interested in what these politicians say or do. And I just don't participate in any of the stuff they want me to participate in, and I've always been that way. So, you know, ultimately it's going to depend on you. And this is a real, it's almost like the exam. This is the turning point, you know, as to whether we move into complete tyranny or whether we seize the opportunity to wake up for ourselves and actually do something about it. And I'm hoping that's what it's going to be. But yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, be prepared for what's coming, folks, and like take every possible precaution that you can. Like I said, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Do what you can to get the word out to people and to continue to spread the message and to continue to empower the people around you. That's what it's really all about. That's the best difference you can make. There is no movement you can start. There is no political party you can join. There is nothing that works within the parameters of the system that you can use to change the system. You actually have to change what's in yourself and how you perceive the system, how you perceive this world to work, and stop participating in your own slavery. That's what's going to change things. I mean, I've spent my whole life like that. And that is what has helped my life and got me on the track that I'm on now, simply by disconnecting from it all. I don't even have to disconnect from it. I just don't perceive it to be something real. It's not something that I involve myself in, because it's just a meme, it's just a fiction, just an idea. The belief in authority is just an idea, and if you really break it all down and don't participate in their corporate system, well, they have no authority over you. It's what you believe, folks. And this is the big final test, and it's going to be interesting to see which way we go. A lot of people are going to die off over the next couple of years. You know, the whole COVID jab, all this sort of stuff, it's all going to come into play through 2025, and by 2027 they want to be ushering in or introducing their entire new system. They want all the groundwork in place, but we're going to see mass destabilization between now and then. I mean, more than we've already seen, we're going to see more of it. So be prepared for that, and kind of take a third person perspective and just kind of step back and watch it. Watch the freak show. And it doesn't really affect you unless you get emotionally involved with it. It's hard not to, like with Gaza and everything that's going on. I mean, I'm kind of emotionally involved in that. But I only continue to speak about it because it's the right thing to do. They don't have a voice. And if you're not speaking about it, like I've said, you're complicit in genocide. And people that are claiming it's fake, there is no bombings and there's no genocide happening in Gaza, these people are actually enablers of that genocide. I would say most of them are Mossad agents or brainwashed Catholics. You can't see the role the Vatican plays in all this as well. And Zionism and Vaticanism, it's all the one thing, folks. So, and like I said, there's an interesting dichotomy going on with all these religions anyway. Imagine what the world would be like without any religion. If everyone simply recognized their own personal connection to the Creator, their own personal connection to God, imagine what the world would be like if they didn't have some book getting in the way telling them what they should feel. Who they should support. If they could simply understand that they have a personal connection to the Creator themselves and view everybody around them as in Lakesh, I am another yourself. We are all reflections of the same consciousness. Like I've said, we change the world in a day. Is that going to happen? Well, who knows? Maybe this is an opportunity for people to regain some of that cognitive function, regain some of that recognition of what they are. Maybe this is the time we can actually lead the human race on track. And all these people had to die out in order for this to happen. Who knows, folks? But the thing is, if they can destabilize stuff enough and get people more and more willing to depend on government to get them through this change, then they'll win. You know, create floods, create havoc, create financial crisis, food shortages, all sorts of stuff. So people are looking out saying, government, please help me. Give me a handout. Give me a welfare ticket. Give me food stamps, whatever. Rather than simply taking responsibility for their lives, then they'll win. And that's their plan, to do that. So be aware that that's their plan. The destabilization is the chaos they need in order to introduce the order that they want. But that order isn't anything that you want, because it's a digital barrier that's going to be put in place of reality. You're going to have to interface with this digital barrier in order to access the normal world outside that barrier. This is something I've been warning you about since 2010, and it's all coming to fruition now. So yeah, interesting time, folks. But anyway, I'll leave it there for now. As I said before, thank you to all the people out there on the front line speaking out. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind letter. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. You are the only thing that keeps this show on the air. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon, folks. Please take very good care until then. In luck, Cash.
Let me tell you one story before we get into the one of the one I'm going to tell you about the child that was going to be buried in front of my eyes. Remember, I was in with the top people. My host was the ranking American military liaison from the United States, and he had been my roommate. We were both young lieutenants training troops at the, you know, at the USATC, and we were, you know, personal friends and so on. And he stayed in as a, you know, professional soldier. And the what I'm going to tell you is sickening, but it's absolutely true.
We want
a group of snipers in Gaza murdered a little innocent, little helpless 4-year-old child, little baby, and sat there laughing like the Jews do. Like I say, these people, I can't stress it enough. Mm-hmm. What they had done, they shot this kid, murdered him in cold blood. They're sitting there laughing, these two grinning sons of the devil. And the parents of the child, you can imagine as a parent, do you have children?
I do.
Well, can you imagine how much you would do to protect your children, or even in this case, to retrieve the body of your child, at least? And they would lay in wait so that they could also murder the grieving parents. This isn't coming out of a bar. These were witnessed incidents, and they happened frequently there. But it gets much, much worse. Not satisfied with this horrific, monstrous conduct, demonic to the core, they sent in hungry dogs, you get the picture,
mm-hmm.
to
yep.
feed on the bodies of these human children. And I know that the parents were watching to lure the parents in, who were crazy with anxiety and just sorrow and everything else, so that they could lure the parents in, and they shot and murdered the parents. Think about that for a moment, Mr. Listening Person and Miss Listening Person, who has the slightest notion about good Jew, bad Jew. You better get it out of your mind, because I'm here to tell you there isn't any such thing.
What did that
shooting the parents? Shooting the parents as they tried to rescue the dead body of their beloved little child. And these aren't stories out of bars, my friends. This
yep.
is the real thing. And you have to realize this is what's in store for Christians here in this country too. So you better start realizing that what you ought to do is every time you see a Jew in the street, you ought to just kick his teeth in. One tries to move into your neighborhood, get all your neighbors to hit together and tell them to get the hell out. You don't want that kind of trash in your neighborhood. I'm dead
right.
serious.
Well, that there may at some point it may come to that, but we don't want to advocate outright violence, and for obvious reasons. But we
no, I'm not saying violence. I'm just saying tell them you're not wanted here.
Yeah.
Leave, and
yeah.
they'll get the message. Believe me. First of all, the Jews are the biggest cowards in the world. I can say that with authenticity, as you may remember from a previous conversation. One of my experiences was I trained combat troops during the Berlin crisis in 1961-62. Just before the Cuban crisis and right toward the end of Vietnam. And I trained a lot of young men. When I say a lot for one man,
I personally knew the names, faces, and so on of over 1,000 young warriors. Now, in the big picture, that's not a lot, but that's just me. And I'll guarantee you there wasn't one of the self-chosen among these people. And I found out later where they were. They were at home bedding down your wives, your sweethearts, your fiancés, and your sisters, because that's what they do best. They all got political connections, and they got deferred. This is when we had it. We used to have a draft, and people didn't mind because they felt they, you know, should serve their country. You know, when you notice that the predominance of Jews in filth like homosexual organizations, organizations who murder little children, porn organizations, all the filth in the world, the communists, the Jews dominate. They may be 1.5% of the population, but they would have as much as 30% to 60% membership in these horrid, horrid organizations, but not in the military, at least not then. There were no Jews. Like I say, they were home doing what Jews do best. So these yellow cowards who are good for nothing except shooting old men, hospitalized people, attacking hospitals, shooting people in the back. You remember when they got their clock cleaned, you know, they, a few years ago, and they attacked Lebanon. And they just got their clock clean, and they were just going back with their tail between their legs because they were fighting real men. The Jew is not a real man. He's a coward by nature. He's vicious. He's seclusive. He shoots from the shadows. I thought the Israeli Jews would somehow be different from American Jews. Less materialistic, more noble, more honest, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Not the salt of the earth or anything. I didn't go that far. But I thought I would see a little different kind of people. And what I found out is that they were even worse. They were even more evil, if that's possible, than Jews here. And what, as you asked me, what prompted me, it was a graduation of series of experiences because of the nature of the people that I was with, the intelligence community, and got to go places where no tourists at all could ever get to go. Proving grounds in the Negev Desert. I watched the new Merkava 4 tanks, all maneuvers, met with top leading Israeli leaders, military leaders, et cetera, et cetera, inside Gaza and Hebron and all this other stuff.
Right.
And I started seeing things that, and remember, I'd already seen a lot of bad stuff. I didn't, you know, I didn't fall out of a tree yesterday. And I was just almost in disbelief at the capacity for evil and cruelty that these Israelis had. I mean, they were purely, you know, when I first saw that thing in the Bible about you are the of your father the devil, I thought, well, Jesus said this, but maybe somehow he meant this as an analogy, you know, something like that. No. Then I understood he meant it exactly as he said it. These people have a demonic heritage. I really, really believe that because I've seen, I've worked with other military, the Soviets, I did undercover work in Central America. I was with Czechs, Bulgarians, terrorists from El Salvador, the Chinese terrorists, you name it. That's another whole story I won't take up your time with. But I had never seen anything with the abysmally evil cruelty, sadistic cruelty of the Jew. The Jew has no compassion, no morals, no conscience, nothing, absolutely nothing. He can kill a five-year-old child and go out and have a beer 5 minutes later with his friend and brag about it, and literally does. I witnessed this kind of thing. These people are monsters. They're absolute monsters. They have no qualms about shooting newsmen or reporters. Like I said, these people have, let me repeat it, and if I have to repeat it 10 times on your show, permit me. They have no morals. They have no ethics. They have no souls. They are not like you and I. And I spent enough time with them here and there. I'm not 40 years old. I'm double that. I've been around the world. I've been here. I've been there, seen that, done that. I'm not easily fooled. And I don't make rash decisions or conclusive snap decisions about people. These creatures are true life monsters. But they're very good. They're very good at what they do. They hide everything. They all have this capacity for what I call a Janus complex. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and
Janus,
unless
right,
but if you're on the inside, they, like I said, like I was, you get to see them without their mascara. I think that's probably Mark Glenn's euphemism, which I coined, if he didn't mind.
Yep.
And you see the Jews without their mascara. And do you remember that sci-fi horror movie, Them or They? Or, you know, the guy had to wear the sunglasses?
Yes, I do, Romp and Roddy Piper and...
and with the sunglasses that could be used to spot these aliens that had
nobody believed them, and all of a sudden they were among everybody, but you couldn't see them. They looked kind of like everybody else. See, that's the way they live.
And
but with these special glasses, my special glasses were my immunity from not being perceived as an outsider. So I saw them for what they really were. And I mean, the nastiness, the cruelty, you earlier made an apology to a lady for something about the language. And frankly, you shouldn't, if you were, of course, you shouldn't use language like that in your own, of your own volition. But if you're paraphrasing to make a point, you need to do that, because people don't understand. They're naive, and they think, oh, no, well, maybe these people just said that they didn't believe Christ was the Messiah. So, no, you're not getting the point. You don't get the point. This drunken, I won't repeat it on your show for a sense of decorum, but just put in what worst words you can think of, and this drunk Israeli comes up to a Christian landowner who's been there with his people for 1,500 years, and he's threatening the guy. He's armed. And he said, we crucified your blank-blank Jesus, and we'll crucify him again. You know, you can take your blank-blank Jesus and blank-blank-blank-blank. The most vile, vile language that you can possibly imagine from this filthy, nasty, maggot-infested Jew.
I've had an odium for Israelis. I've had a dislike that I cannot describe in good civilized company. It's grown worse. Every time I find out something else, it confirms the horrendous things, the barbaric conduct of the Israeli people. And when I got there, they had a party, and it was kind of interesting because there were intelligence people from all over, some Mossad people, some people from Aberdeen Proving Ground, people from Langley, Virginia, CIA, and so on and so forth. So it was quite an interesting party. People were very, very, reluctant to kind of chit-chat at the beginning, because so many of the things that they, knew and so on were classified, and, they wanted to make sure everybody knew everybody. But it made it a rather interesting evening to get started with. And then the fun started. We went outside of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a very sanitized city. You have to understand, you don't see any of the horrors and the misery that I'm going to tell you about. And you don't see the true nature of the Israeli people. They say that city is totally, totally sanitized. I want everybody out there to listen very carefully. Listen to this very carefully. You will not see this on the evening news. You will not see this if you go to Tel Aviv. If you go to other small cities that are out of the tourist range, you will see the city full of graffiti. Things like saying, free Jonathan Pollard. Jonathan Pollard, our hero, our Israeli hero, this and that and the other. Israeli patriot, free Jonathan Pollard. This is a man who betrayed our country, and he was a folk hero to the Israelis. He said, they kill these children over here just on a routine basis. Nobody gets into the occupied territories and gets out alive. What I saw there has only been seen by maybe one in a few million Americans. And the people here have no idea of the evil they're supporting. The barbaric treatment. These people are animals. They're absolute animals. They defecate on the Quran. They rape their women. They bulldoze their homes. They murder the people. These things are real. They're done every day. I've been there. And I'm telling you, if you've got a conscience, I'm just an American guy here that happens to have had some experiences. But if you've got a conscience, I don't care if you're a Christian or not, but especially if you're a Christian, you're sold your soul to the devil if you buy into this garbage. What you're doing is you're assisting the devil. This stuff they're doing over there is unconscionably evil. I've been around some places, even with the terrorists, the FMLN, the FSLN in El Salvador, but I've never seen the brutality that you will see with the IDF. These people, you will never see the cruelty, the barbarism that they inflict on women and children there. You don't see it. They have the money, they have the power, they have the guns, they control the media, they control what you see all over. This is one of the most brutal peoples you will ever see on the face of the earth. And I'll make that statement in front of God, because he already knows how evil they are. And I plead with anybody saying this tonight, if you're a Christian and you're bought into this, don't buy into it. Whoever's telling you this is working for the devil. These things are lies. They are not true. I'll stake my life and my reputation on it, just out of pure patriotic reason. I have a conscience. I want to be proud of my country again. And I cannot be proud of this country like I was 40 years ago when I was a young Green Beret para officer I can't feel like that anymore, and I want to feel like that again. I'm a Republican. I'm a hard-line Republican, but I'm not a child murderer. I'm an honorable person. I'm a decent person. I'm pleading with you folks. Do something about it before we lose our country. You have to understand, we are paying for the misery and murder and torture and degradation and humiliation of hundreds of thousands of people who've never done any harm to us. Never done any harm to us. We have created an enemy. There was no enemy. We created the enemy. We are going to lose this country. We're going to end up on the ash heap of history. I don't care if I go to prison for being outspoken. I don't care anymore. It's my country. I love my country. I risked my life for my country. I have children and grandchildren, and I don't want to see them grow up in this kind of nation. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.